Welcome to Faces of Success Radio 101 FM. We do have a real treat for you guys today. I mean, a real super treat. We have Miss Melba Moore that will be coming on with us at around 2 o'clock, about 20 minutes from now. And I just want to keep you guys super entertained because I know by the time we get Miss Melba on, you guys are going to be nailed to the phone. So we're going to play a little bit of something for you nice and slow, and then we will come right back. Thank you for listening.
Just like music.
You wanna die, it's not my turn.
Like
to do something to me like jumping a Mercedes on the highway, doing over 80 without music, baby.
I'll go crazy, just like music.
Make me call my homie on the phone, like there's something new out that got me in the zone. Just that feeling got me, I wish music can adopt me.
Just like music.
Woman got me in the air saying sweet nothings, make love come out the mouth, no frontin', like all of a sudden,
just like music,
taking away your worries and cares, any problems, music will be right there, together match, yo, we a perfect pair, is that true, Marvin?
Yeah, music,
yo, to get you the bangness, body soul snatcher, universal language, it be the light to open up, this is it, what the fuck,
just like music.
One fly tune to have black and white vibe in one room. No confrontation, poly all night. It's just a sensation.
Just like music.
I just want to thank everybody for tuning in about 15 minutes. We got Miss Melba Moore coming on for you, so stay tuned with Faces of Success Radio as we're doing the most.
no matter what you do. And I hope you understand me. Every word I say is true, 'cause I love you. Baby, I'm thinking of you, trying to be more of a man for you. And I don't have much of a chance, but we're gonna see it through, 'cause I love you. Oh, oh, oh. One time things got so bad until I had to go to one of my friends and talk to him. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm having problems with the woman that I love. It seems that I call her on the phone and I just can't get her to answer. And then I went to her house and I saw a car parked in the driveway. I knocked on the door, but still my knocks went unanswered. And then I went home and I watched television until television went off. And then I played my records until I just didn't want to hear them anymore. And finally I went to bed, but I found myself waking up a few hours later. And the tears were running down my face. And my friend told me, he said, Lenny, you just ought to forget about her. But I told my friend, I said, you know, maybe you've never been in love like I've been in love. And maybe you've never felt the things that I felt. But this is what I told my friend, I said, you know, sometimes you get lonely, you get lonely, you get lonely. Oh, 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 oh. And I cry, I cry. In the wells of my eyes, oh baby. And then it got so bad, it got so bad, to one time I thought I'd roll myself up in a big old ball and die. And then I met you, darling, and you smiled at me. Oh,
such a pretty smile, yes it was.
And you reached out your hand.
You help me. You help me. I won't ever leave you, baby. I won't ever grieve you, baby. I'm gonna love you. Oh, 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 baby. I'm glad. I'm glad, baby. Oh, oh. Yeah, baby. Oh, oh, oh. I love you. I love you.
Yes, you're tuned in to Faces of Success Radio 101 FM, and just as I promised you, in about 10 minutes, we are going to have no other but Miss Melba Moore, three-time Grammy Award winner, and we are going to play a little bit from Arana, No Tears Left.
I'm
All right, now, as I said, just in a few moments, I want everybody to kind of stay in your seat. We are expecting Miss Moore on the line any moment now, so just please hang in there with us. I have a song from Drake, In My Feelings. Stay tuned right here on Faces of Success Radio 101 FM.
Track money, penny. Got me in my feelings. Gotta be real with it. Me. Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. Cause I want you and I need you. And I'm down for you always, KB. Do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. Cause I want you and I need you. And I'm down for you always. Love the new me is really still the real me. I swear you gotta feel me before they try and kill me. They gotta make some choices. They running out of options. Cause I've been going off and they don't know when to stop. And when you get this, I see that you've been learning. And when I take you shopping, you spend it like you earned it. And when you popped off on your ex, he deserved it. I thought you would've won from the jump, that confirmed it. Track money, Benny. I buy you champagne, but you love some Henny. From the block like you Jenny. I know you special, girl, cause I know too many. Risha, do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. Cause I want you, and I need you. And I'm down for you always, JT. Do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. Cause I want you, and I need you. And I'm down for you always.
Two bad bitches, and we kissing in a way. Kissing, kissing in a way. Kissing in a way.
Cause I want you, and I need you, and I'm down for you always. And I'm down for you always. And I'm down for you, down for you, down for you always.
For those of you that are just now tuning in, we are counting down the minutes.
Oh, I don't even care. I need a photo with Drake because my Instagram is weak.
We have her coming in. Stay tuned. Stay tuned as we await for her in a couple of seconds here. I want to send a song out for all these women out here looking for that Superman lover. Here is Johnny Guitar Watson.
Why I'm so weak for are you.
Listen, I can leap tall buildings in a single bound. When it comes to getting over you, baby, well, I can't get off the ground. But they call me the Superman lover, yeah. They call me the Superman lover, yeah. But something wrong. Something wrong with me to see. Something wrong, yeah, yes it is. Faster than a speeding bullet. About flown a few, yes I have. But I must be flying awful slow. Sometimes, baby, I can't keep up with you. I got X-ray vision, and I can see through steel too, baby. I know it's something wrong with me, huh. 'Cause I can't see through you. But they call me the Superman lover, yeah. Call me that Superman lover, yeah. But I'm wrong.
All right, now, just as I promised you guys, we have officially in the studio Miss Melva Moore, and we are bringing her in right now. Just hold on a few seconds here. Hi, Miss Moore.
Hi, is it Gigi?
Miss Melva Moore. No, this is DJ Success with Faces of Success Radio 101 FM. How are you?
Oh, I apologize. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. So I know we don't want to take up a whole lot of your time this on this special, very, very special day, but we want to really say thank you for being on Faces of Success Radio 101 FM. And I know that... you know, you may have probably took an interest in, you know, music, your music career at a very young age. And so I would like to ask you, you know, what age, you know, age was it that you knew that you were going to, you know, become a singer and that's what you really wanted to do?
Well, I was a late bloomer, but my mother was a professional singer, but she was also a black woman, and she was a single parent. So I started kind of late because her mother, my grandmother, had strokes. And so she was trying to take care of both of us, trying to become a star. And so the family was kind of broken. So your question would not easily be answered unless I'd had a normal, well, maybe it is a normal child. I'm not sure anymore. But my mother married my stepfather, who was a wonderful musician. I say was because he recently passed away. But don't feel sorry. He was 101 years old. So I have a good example of long. And he was a musician. And so he had a daughter and a son, so I then had a sister and a brother, and since he was a piano player, he made us all take piano lessons. But I didn't start taking piano lessons until I was like 9 years old, and then like maybe, I guess, junior high school or so, when it was time to pick your high school that you wanted to go to, I knew that I really wanted to be in music. And does that kind of begin to answer your question?
Yes, it did. And so when you knew you were beginning to want to like music, what was your greatest inspirations? What inspired you to want to do music?
Well, it was my parents because, let me see, my brother and sister were about a year and a half, each one of them older than me, and I was 9, and they were 10 and 11. So at that time, our parents were fairly, you know, like newly married, even though we were just before puberty. So we would go around to the different nightclubs that they would play in. So they were the people that I thought they were huge stars. Of course they were, I mean, to us, but and they were fairly successful in the music industry. So that was the biggest influence, because I mean they would have live band rehearsals in our living room, and they made us take piano lessons, and I just got so totally involved. Of course, we listened to the radio and everything, but it was a little bit different with music being in your home and people treating my mom like she was a movie star. That was my biggest influence.
All right. Well, you in 1967, there was a track that you did called Magic Touch. What motivated that song, the title of that song?
Can I be honest with you? I've done so many things since then, and I wasn't really truly in the industry yet. I can't. There's probably a bunch of things that I tried to do to see if I could get into the industry, but I don't really have a strong good memory even of that song. I have, strong memories of things like You Stepped Into My Life, Lean On Me, things that were huge hits and gave me a career.
Right. And when you knew, when you got that call that, you know, your music had finally went viral and you reached, you know, you were at the peak where, you were told, hey, you got it and it's on. How was that for you? How was it for you? How did you feel when you got that call or how did that come about?
All right. Well, it's come about in stages. I guess my first real, where can I begin? I started my professional life as a public school music educator. So I didn't become a star there. Obviously, I didn't have that experience. But then I left teaching school to come into the recording industry, but I came in as a backup singer. And so I started to sing behind people like Aretha Franklin and Johnny Mathis and whoever the big stars were then. But one of the recording sessions brought me into the Broadway theater. It was the gentleman who had written the music for the Broadway musical Hair. And I went and sang for the producer and the director. To make a long story a little bit shorter, I wound up being the first black actress to replace a white actress in a lead role on Broadway when I replaced Diane Keaton. So that was a big moment for me before I even had a hit record. I won't tell you too much because it's too much to tell. Let you take that in.
I knew that had to be really like, man, you know, to be able to accomplish that, and especially, you know, just, you know, going from the bathtub to the ocean, I know that had to be a wonderful experience.
That's a beautiful way to describe it.
Yeah. And so let me ask you, were your siblings, were they also into music, and how many were there?
All right. Well, my stepsister went into education, and she stayed there. She's an incredible teacher. My stepbrother became a very wonderful piano player. He's since passed away. He had a kidney failure. But my two younger brothers, one brother is a lawyer, and the other brother had Down syndrome. So he has a wonderful life, but it's not professional. So I guess I'm really the only one that stayed in the industry and became an actor and a singer, and, you know, just had a calling for it to stay in it the rest of my life. Yeah.
Right. Well, with your song that you did, your Grammy nomination ballad, Lean On Me, how did that song come about?
Well, I first heard, when did I first hear Aretha? I first heard Aretha on the radio like everybody else. But then when I got into the recording industry, and I'm sure I did some backup music on some of her recordings, but then she released that song on the B-side. She was throwing it away. We had A-side and B-sides and on vinyl way before you were born, I'm sure. On the A-side was a song called Spanish Harlem, which became very, very famous among so many of the songs that she recorded. But on the B-side, she had thrown that away, and it was a ballad called Lean On Me. And I fell in love with it, and I started singing it. And I knew I couldn't sing it like her, but she inspired me so much. I started to try to develop what now has become my singing style. I had such a small voice and such a light voice. I would do calisthenics and sing and sing and sing. So one day this long note popped out, and I've been doing it ever since. That's essentially how Lean On Me developed. I couldn't sing like Aretha. I wasn't trying to sing like her, but I was trying to develop my own style.
Right. And have all your life you've been around, you know, celebrities. I know you work from with, you know, people like Aretha Franklin and Van McCoy and everybody, Freddie Jackson. But I just want to know, how was that for you when you found yourself rubbing elbows with all of these famous entertainers?
Well, I'll tell you, it's still fun. I guess because my parents were around artists, even if they weren't like famous people, there were a lot of famous people. You got used to being around people who were well known, and it's different. They're not treated normally, so you don't think of them as normal, and it's always been something very exciting. And when I taught school, I run into people that were my students, and they were little kids then, but they said I used to tell them that I was going to be a star. So whether I knew it or not, I must have been impressed.
Well, you held it down because you did exactly what you said you were going to do. That's for sure. What do you think about the music industry from the time that you started, and where is it now, right now, today? How do you feel about the industry within itself?
I think the industry is incredible. is very difficult, but it's so diverse. When I was coming along, we were just now starting to have an FM R&B or black or colored, whatever you want, station that played black music. And now we have so many different genres of black music. And but one thing hasn't changed. God has blessed us in that arena. We're artists, whether we study, whether we're not, we're really, truly, truly gifted people and chosen in that way. And in that sense, there's so much diversity. I mean, I have a song called "The Day I Turned to You," which is on my gospel album, and one of the tracks is a duet with Shirley Murdoch. Do you know who she is?
Ma'am.
Okay, you know she's a bad motorcycle. Okay, right. And,
yes,
and you know the kind of the kind of gospel music that she sings, and how many different kinds of gospel music there is. I have another song on there called "The Day I Turned to You," which just being released now, and it's written by a very talented young man by the name of Herb Middleton. But I have a bunch of things just getting ready to come out now. One of, do you know who Terry Hunter is?
No, ma'am.
Sorry. Okay, well,
no, that one you got me.
Okay, well, he's a very, very famous house music DJ.
Okay.
You probably know that a lot of the DJs, especially of house music and hip hop and certain genres, they're the star, not the stars, but they're stars. That they're creating a whole another tier of types of music. Well, I have a new song called out.
Right.
I'm just doing me. Now, is that sassy or what? Hmm?
Yes, it is. Well, let me ask you something. When you talk about the industry, you know, today, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people that are burning, you know, people's music, getting it off of YouTube, all kind of digital, you know, bootlegging and so on. How does that affect you as an artist?
Well, what I see happening is that digital and internet it's a whole new world and a whole new set of genres being created. And this, in some cases, there's no laws to cover them yet. So this is part of being a part of the frontier when stuff hasn't happened yet. And the way I look at it, because I've lost so much and gained so much, that when things start to happen over again, you have to have some way to put yourself out there and invest in yourself. So if somebody's, you know, taking my music and they're bootlegging it or they're dubbing it or whatever they're doing, for me, it's important that I figure out where I belong in this industry, if there's a place I belong or if there's several places I can belong. You know, work with the people that are monitoring where it's being played and who's doing, because that's starting to increase too. And you're starting to be able to only play your music in certain areas that are kind of guarded by certain record companies or certain people who own music so that they can monitor who's playing and selling their music. So there's starting to be an increase in monitoring systems so that you can find out, you know, how you can get paid for your music. But that's a new frontier now because everything is exploding so much. And with the pandemic?
Pandemic, yes, ma'am.
Yes. Some things are not going to be able to go back to the way they were because we still have to control our health and keep the disease down. So the internet and the electronic is going to be so huge. You got to figure out a way to learn about it and deal with it because it's here. And some of the stuff is not. You're not going to be able to go back to it. Humble opinion. I don't know.
Yeah, and I respect that so much because me being very deeply involved, you know, I'm also most of my life be on the road, you know, traveling, you know, all over the world as well with, you know, entertainers. And so when the pandemic hit, I mean, that was like, it's something that literally scared me to death. I was like, what? I mean, you know, the whole world at once all being affected at one time.
This has never happened before. So you really got to take it seriously. Go ahead.
And I mean, it had me to where I didn't even want to go outside. You know, I was that scared because I didn't want to get anything, you know, from going outside. So right now, I'm just now finding out with the entertainment side, these promoters that are booking us, you know, if a venue will hold 1,000 people, they're only going to be able to put 200 to 300 people in their, you know, capacity, you know, in their capacity.
And
so they're losing a lot of money, but a lot of
That's just the beginning of it. Because when the people who own the venues may be taking their, you know, difficulties more seriously than yours. So you don't have to investigate for yourself if it's really safe to.
Right. And yes, absolutely. And that's crazy because I'm trying to, you know, imagine, you know, singers on stage, what with big plastics, you know, something in front of them, or are they going to have, you know, trying to sing because you can't even talk with a mask on. So I don't know how you'd be able to sing.
No, you can't be close to nobody. Mm-mm.
Yes. It's not even worth it, actually, because, you know, at the end of the day, you can make, $1 million, but if you ain't alive to spend it next week, it's not going to do you any good. So,
the last place you want to be right now is a doctor's office or a hospital. You can't even go there, so you
Absolutely.
Need to stay well. And,
yes,
you know,
ma'am.
It has to be preventive care. You can't be eating junk or something that will compromise your immune system. People have to find out about nutrition, and that has to be your preventive medicine. You can't just eat any old thing.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm just telling
you,
as a senior person,
yes.
I'm not just trying to stay cute and thin anymore. I'm trying to stay alive.
Well, I understand that, you know, and especially when it says, you know, when they're saying that, you know, people of color at higher risk, you know, of
absolutely
being exposed to it. So let me ask you this, speaking of that, now we hit with the coronavirus, and right after that we have all this, you know, police brutality, you know, and stuff happening amongst, you know, people of color. Has that affected you in any type of way, you know, that you would like
well,
to voice
in the fact,
today?
Well, in the fact that I've been black all my life and now I'm getting to my senior years for a very long time. This is nothing new for people like me. And in for our men, it's been in one particular way, like everybody's familiar with profiling. With women and for somebody that's maybe fairly attractive or a woman out on the road by herself, I've always been subject to, and I've worked like really, really nice clubs and places where there were perhaps only white people or white men. Somebody always assumed that I
yes,
was a
ma'am.
Hooker. And, of course, I've been a part of the National Council of Negro Women and lots of movements. And I was marched to help make Martin Luther King's birthday a holiday. And I saw, you know, I've been with Jesse Jackson and many of the people who have been in charge of making these movements before and fighting against police brutality and the racism that's always systemically against black and brown people here in this country, because we were brought here illegally and as slaves, and, you know, the lie was spread that we were not even human. So that's not going to just go away. You have to fight it away. So one of the things that I did a long time ago, because I'm from New York City, I didn't understand that African-American people had an anthem that identified us as a nation within a nation, because we didn't come here like other immigrants. We came here as slaves. And so we've had to have had a civil war. We've had civil rights movements. We've had murders like Martin Luther King. And the movement is still going on. And till Dr. Dorothy Height, who she's passed on now, was the head of the National Council of Negro Women. And that position was bequeathed to her by Mary McLeod Bethune. But she told me, she says, we have these different celebrations. She used to call the Black Family Reunion at major cities around the U.S. that had large black populations. She says, why don't you sing the Negro National Hymn? Well, being from New York City, we didn't have black history or anything about our history, so I didn't know we had one. So what I did back in 1990, I was with Capitol Records at the time, and I went to my A&R person. His name was Scott Folks. And he helped me round up Cece Winans, who helped me get about 15 different African-American people to do Lift Every Voice and Sing, because it's our official national hymn or national anthem. And I did it that way because I figured many, many, many African-Americans would be like I was. They wouldn't know that we had a song that officially identified us as African-Americans or a nation within a nation. And they would probably just think it was my hit record. So that's one of my official acts that I've done, and I've re-recorded it on my current album, a solo version of Lift Every Voice and Sing. That is our national hymn. It's in the Congressional Record as the Negro National Hymn or the African National Anthem, you know, because we have something besides the Star Spangled Banner, because we are not white, and, you know, we're very often reminded that in very brutal ways. And because of the war that we've had to go through and continue to go through, we have a song that identifies us, and it's called Lift Every Voice and Sing.
Yeah, that's a blessing. You know, I didn't, being honest with you, I haven't heard it, but I'd love to hear it. And I also want to share with you, I've gotten a lot of posts coming in, you know, with this 4th of July weekend coming in, where people of color are actually saying they're not wearing red, white, and blue, that they will be wearing black for this,
yes.
You know,
yes.
4th of July. And I mean, I've been touched, and it's definitely been something that I never wanted to witness in my lifetime, but it is truly sad, these, you know, things that are taking place, you know, that, you know, black people still have to deal with, and it's just really sad. But moving along, what would you tell someone, a young entrepreneur trying to follow your footsteps?
Don't follow my footsteps. Learn business. No, I'm learning it now. Because, well, I would tell you that whatever your talent is, entrepreneurism is part of it. There has to be a business side of it. And wherever you can learn that, learn that. You could sometimes learn it in church. There are many colleges that offer courses in entrepreneurism now that they didn't before. Even when you go to music school, you can study it. So I would say you have access to online, whatever your subject is, start to look up, you know, what free courses first might be available to you to learn about the business aspect of what you want to do. Whatever it is, it's in entrepreneurism. Because, I mean, look, one thing we learned as Americans, we want to be self-employed. That's entrepreneurism. You want to be your own boss. But it doesn't mean that you don't work for other people. You learn, you know, much that way. You have to come up through the ranks. Somebody has to teach you the grassroots, so I'm not suggesting that you don't work for other people. But your goal should be to work for yourself. That's entrepreneurism.
Amen to that. Now, as far as, like, management and stuff, are you currently under management?
I'm not under nobody but Jesus.
Okay.
I have
so
a partner.
So if someone wanted to book you,
I have a partner, yes. His name is Ron Richardson.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you can look him up. We have a website, melbournemoore.com. You can always contact him. But
okay.
I guess my sense is I'm not over him and he's not over me. We're partners.
Well, that's a wonderful thing. There's nothing wrong with that. I was basically saying that for the listeners that may want to book you, you know, what's the best way for them to, you know, to go about doing that. What is Melbourne Moore doing today? What are you doing that, you know, tell us what's new, what's hot, what's popping with Melbourne Moore today?
All right. Well, you can look for a new single that I have called I'm Just Doing Me. And I was telling you about Terry Hunter, the DJ. I don't know what the name of his site is, but you can look for it on Amazon and YouTube and just all the social networking outlets to hear Melbourne Moore, I'm Just Doing Me. And George Pettis is a wonderful musician, too. I'm not sure people know who he is, but that's coming up the pike right away. Dee Nice has a dance party every night. For the people that are quarantined. It's called quarantine. Matter of fact, I think he got an award on BET for this quarantine party the other night. And he's been featuring me a lot, especially on my hit record, You Stepped Into My Life. So people like to hear that. That's from back in the day, but he's playing it all the time and people are loving it. I have a new single about to come out with a group called Crack of Dawn, and it's called Solo Tiempo. It's a beautiful, beautiful ballad. And what else? I told you about The Day I Turned to You. That's a gospel CD. I'm a born-again Christian, so God comes first. And this
Amen.
is a a gospel CD that I executive produced. And I chose all the songs and the producers on it. I was born again. I was sure that I was, but I wasn't sure, you know, exactly what you do, because it was an experience that happened with me. It's not like somebody said, okay, this is what you do. No, the Holy Spirit came over me and I gave my life to the Lord, and then my life changed. And so I wanted to sing songs that praise the Lord, and so that's how this CD came about. It's not that because I was raised gospel. It's not new, but I didn't start as a kid as a Christian like this. I don't know how to say
it. Ma'am. Well, we have a couple of callers that's been holding that would like to ask you or a few questions. So we're going to bring one of them in. I'm coming from 718 area code. Hold on one moment, please. Okay, 718, you are live online. Okay,
hello?
I guess they don't have a question. Hello, can I help? Yes, you are live in the studio.
Yes, can I speak to Melba and just say hi to her?
I'm on. Who's this?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Carol Williams. And
I knew it was you. I knew that voice.
I was listening to your interview, and great, great ideas you have and wonderful answers to the questions that you asked. But I just wanted to say hi, and it's good
That's
hearing
enough there,
your
Carol,
voice.
You're prejudiced.
No, I'm not.
I love you so much.
I love you too, and I'm going to stay on after I get off the phone so I can hear all of your answers and the questions that they're asking you. This is very interesting, and I'm sure it's interesting to the listeners too. So anyway,
well,
I love you, Melvin. I will see you soon.
I was going to say I look forward to seeing you as soon as it's safe.
Okay. Be positive and be safe. Okay.
Thank you. Okay, we have someone calling in from 501 area code. You're live now in the studio.
Hi, this is Debbie Ireland, producer of the 2020 Radio and Records Awards that's going to be held in Atlanta. And that's on August the 9th. And I just want to say congratulations to Melba Moore. She will be receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award, and we are so honored. Hello, Melba.
I hear you. Thank you. I think my partner told me that you were going to do something to honor me. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. That's at the 2020 Radio and Records Awards. It's going to be held in Atlanta, and you, along with Gene Karn and Shirley Jones of the Jones Girls, will receive a Lifetime Achievement Award, which is so deserving. And I just wanted
Thank
to congratulate you.
You
and say hello. Yes, ma'am.
God bless you so much. And, of course, Gene Karn and Shirley Jones are just two fabulous, wonderful ladies. You cannot ever say enough good about them or reward them enough. I know them, worked with them. And Shirley, not as long, but she's incredible. And Gene Karn for many, many years. And they're not just great artists. They really are good, good people.
Right. And I understand that Shirley Jones will be accepting your award on your behalf.
Yes.
So she will be there. I just want to thank you all. You're so, I just can't even say enough about you. So you're so deserving, and God bless you. And just keep up the good work. I know all of your music.
Well, thank you for sharing us with the public. Thank you.
Ma'am, while you're on, if you'd like to tell everybody about your event that is listening and when it's going to be and where, you're able to do so before we bring on the next caller.
Yes, it is going to be held August the 9th in Atlanta at Backstage Atlanta. And Backstage Atlanta is owned by Joe Douglas, who is the manager of Frankie Beverly and Maze. And we have it there every year. It's a small, intimate setting. And we just, every year, our board, we get together and we nominate and choose who's going to get each award. And so it was, you know, the decision was easy for us to come up with the Lifetime Achievement Award for Melba, Gene Karn, and Shirley. And it's going to be August the 9th. We're going to have a VIP reception, champagne reception hour prior to that. Even though everything's going to be outside on the patio, we've got a big deck, patio deck, and it's going to be really, really nice. But Ricky Smiley actually is getting the syndicated radio award of the year. And so we're honoring radio and record people who have, you know, contributed and dedicated many years in this business as well as in the community. So that's how we choose them. And Melvin Moore in the Lifetime Achievement Award. And we would love for everybody to come out. That's in Atlanta at Backstage Atlanta. And that's 2505 Godby Road in College Park, Georgia. So we're excited about that. Even though everything we're going through, we're still planning on having, you know, doing as much as we can with it. You know what I'm saying? We're all responsible adults and responsible professionals. And so we're taking all the precautions. And as of right now, we still don't even know what may happen by August the 9th. But as of right now, we're still planning on having something. And in the event that it don't happen, of course, everybody still will get their award. She's also getting an award and a proclamation from the city of Atlanta.
Oh, wow. Well, that's wonderful. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. And thank you for being a guest on Faces of Success Radio 101 FM. And we're going to go to the next caller from 281 area code. Welcome.
Hi, Ms. Peters.
Okay, too late.
Hello, Ms. Melvin Moore. This is Gigi Watson, and I'm on your friend
Gigi
list.
Okay, great.
Okay. I'd like to ask you a question. And I want to, I remember you when I was a little girl. Okay, the question I want to ask, how come you and Marvin Gaye didn't do a duet? You guys would have made a good duet.
I have no idea. I wish I had the answer to that. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
You would. I give you another chance to answer me. Ask me something I can answer. Yeah, I love Marvin Gaye. If he had asked me, I sure would have did it. So, I mean, you know, as to why he didn't ask me, I don't know.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you all the way from Texas, Gigi. We appreciate you calling in. So we're going to go to the next question. You know, for booking information, what would you like audience to know if they're interested in booking you? Could you give them your website information, please?
Yeah, I'll give you the email. I think it's Rona Richards, RonaRchrds at AOL.com.
All right. Now, we're going to talk about your song, Call Me. It's a new release. What motivated you to write this song?
I didn't write it. Shirley wrote it for me.
Okay.
Shirley Murdoch. And it was during the time when I really had basically lost everything. I was homeless. I didn't have a career. But I discovered I was born again. And someone, you know, God doesn't do, well, I don't know what you know, but I know God doesn't do anything by accident. But during the week that I was being evicted, I got a call from an incredible person by the name of Michael Matthews. And you know who Tyler Perry is, I'm sure. But this man taught
ma'am.
Tyler Perry, his name is Michael Matthews. He actually started the gospel musical genre, the whole type of a thing. And he called me and brought me out on the road to do, he wrote these plays. And one of them was called Mama, I'm Sorry. And he starred me in it. And about 10 days after I was out on the road, I would have been evicted, but I had moved everything out. And so instead of being homeless, I was on the road. And you see how things dovetail, so just no way it could have been an accident. But while I was out there, I mean, you know, I had no bank account. I have one daughter. She had run away. My ex-husband had divorced me without me knowing and forged my name on the signatures and signed me to a bunch of properties that I never had anything to do. I was bankrupt. I was everything. But I got a chance to start all over out there. And that's when I met Shirley Murdoch. And I told her that I didn't have any music, and I was born again. I love the Lord and everything, but and I wasn't raised Baptist or Pentecostal, so I didn't know none of the songs. Could she write me some music? She said, "You have to write. You have to have songs that tell your testimony." I said, "Well, Shirley, what's that?" She said, "Well, like if you were writing a story about yourself, it would be your autobiography." I said, "But if you write about what Jesus did for you, or you tell your story, that's your testimony." So she wrote "Call Me" for me, and she consented to do it as a duet with me. It helped me learn how to sing gospel, I guess. She and her husband, Adele DeGro, were so magnanimous and so gracious, and they wrote the songs for me. They produced it for me. She sung it with me. She did everything she could, you know, to make it work for me, like a sister in the Lord would. That's how that happened.
Oh, that is so wonderful. And, you know, prayers go out to you for your struggles, and prayers go out for your strength. And, you know, just know that, you're not the only one. I also do, you know, we had to cancel one of our tours, and we have to break
a
the silence
tour?
Tour on. Yeah, we had to cancel it due to COVID. We were supposed to actually, April of this year was supposed to be the first date, but we do events on behalf of battered women and children and men, and mm-hmm. help, you know, families with housing and, you know, all that kind of stuff, you know, and so, and advocate against, you know, gang violence, you know, domestic violence, and, you know, all
Thank
of that,
you
know, and black on black
Very
crime,
important.
The whole nine
yes.
yards.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
And so, you know, God is good. You know what I mean? And I just
absolutely,
it just made me feel very good to know that, you know, through whatever you've been through, you know, you were able to overcome it and you're still strong. You know what I mean? And
well,
that means
of course,
a lot,
not by
you know?
Yourself. That's when you find out, is because you really understand just how brutal and terrible things are for you. But that's when you run into people who absolutely, if they don't help you and take care of you, you really would be homeless. You really would be battered. Perhaps I might have been left in some alley somewhere. You really find out how wonderful people are.
Yes, ma'am. And you also find out who truly was your friend as well,
right,
through your struggles. So for right. those of you that are listening this afternoon, we're going to play "Call Me" by Melva Moore, and we'll be right back.
When you're down and out and you need a friend,
you need
oh, yeah.
a friend.
When you need someone in which you can depend,
you
yourself,
depend.
Like a breeze over troubled waters, I will be there for you. Oh,
yeah.
You never have to worry, because I'll always see you through.
Safe and warm.
that was a wonderful, beautiful. I can't find enough words to put it in place. It
Charlotte
actually got me having some feel it all in my chest, anxiety. You know, I can feel
yes.
the spirit in that song.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes.
And again, we just want to thank you for being on Faces of Success Radio 101 FM, Miss
yes.
Nova, and whatever you're doing. I'm in the near future. You know, if you'd like to come
yes.
back, we'd love to. You
thank
know,
you.
Whatever you're doing, get it out there.
Yes.
When it's safe, and we put the Break the Silence tour back on calendar, I would love to be able to have you, you know, come on and do a performance and a speaker on behalf of Battered Women and Children.
Thank
so,
you.
You know,
thank you.
I would love
yes.
to be able to speak with you in regards to that. And so
sure,
for now,
absolutely.
We just want to say enjoy the rest of your day. May God
yes.
be with you through all your struggles, and it's going to be all right. There's a light at the end of the tunnel, and thank you, Ms. Moore, for the interview.
Thank you so much for having me. Hope you can tell I had a good time.
Thank you. Okay, so for those of you that are still listening, we're going to do it one more time. If you didn't hear it, you're going to hear it this time from Melvin Moore. Call me.
When you're down and out and you need a friend,
you need
oh, yeah.
a friend.
When you need someone, someone in which you can depend,
you
yourself,
depend.
Like a breeze over troubled waters, I will be there for you. Oh,
yeah.
You never have to worry, because I'll always see you through.
Like a desert in a time of storm.
right now, everybody that is just tuning in, that was Melva Moore. Call me. She just got off the line with an exclusive interview right here on Faces of Success Radio 101 FM. If you are interested in downloading this interview, you can go to www.fosr101fm.com. I'm your host, DJ Success, and thank you for listening.